Okay, so I will tell you about everything about the database. And so first, when we redesigned Legion with Legion 1, we had a database we added after the creation of the software, and we didn't really trust it. But then we realized after a couple of months, oh, that's great, you know, we have all our data stored and we can get them back the way we want it. So when we redesigned Legion, we said, okay, let's put the database in Legion core. So in this new version of Legion, we decided to store everything. That means snapshot of the microscope, the camera states, and user preferences, your entire profile. So we needed to choose the technology. A database is really simple, at least for some people. But the language you use, it's called SQL. So it's a structured query language. But nobody likes SQL. I don't understand, because it's all in English. You just write a sentence, and you get back. So we had to develop those many tools for users to view their data in the database. So we have some web tools, which is the best way to query a database. All you need is a web browser. So you point the web browser to your data, and you view images, view targets, and all the information you need to. For Legion itself, because, again, we want to store everything in the database, we developed a package called Cinedon, which is related to Python. And for some hardcore people, you can still use an SQL client, which is great. It's just English again. So Cinedon, it's this package we created. So if you want to use the database, you have no idea how it works, use Cinedon if you want, or another. The real term is called an ORM. It's an object relational mapping between your language and your database. In our case, Legion is written in Python, which is a highly object-oriented scripting language, and our database, it's MySQL. So the idea is, like, here you are, you want to write an application, and you want to put data in the database. So all you have to do is to use Python code, and Python will map an object to your data, which is a table. So with Cinedon, you can really associate a specific class with one and only one table. If you need to relate different tables in your object, you can reference it. And the great thing about Cinedon is you can use multiple databases. That means all your tables, they don't have to be in one database. And then for the other users who wants to query the database, a Cinedon generated databases, the databases are normalized. That means every table, they have primary keys, timestamp, and they are, again, they're referenced to each other. So it makes really easy for a user to do a query in the fastest way. But the bottom line is the SQL is completely transparent for the programmer. So here's an example. So I try to find an easier example. This is not Legion data. Actually there are. So for example, you want to write an application. You want to manage users and group. So you import in Python shell, you import Cinedon, you create your group data class, and you define what you want in this table. So all you know, it's what you want to put in this database. So for a group, you know, it has a name and a description. And then you write you want to put users in the database. And so you define your user class, which is name, username, and then here there is a relation to the group. So this is actually an instance of your group class. So then when you want to put data into this new database using this data class you created, all you have to do is to create an instance and call the insert method. And here you are, you have a map between your database and your Python program. To query the same way, you create an instance and you query. So again, here there are no SQL at all. So in a couple of lines, you have a real application between the database and Python. So this is Legion core. It's amazing, you know. It works. So that's, there are about, it's 180 there are 180 tables, and they are all related to each other. So you can see those by Cinedon generated all those tables, because there is no one DBA who wants to add, excuse me, can you add a magnification to this table? No way, you know, where should I add it? So all you have to do is edit your data class in Cinedon. So you can see, so every table has a primary key and a timestamp. So you, and also, which is really great in this database structure, every reference has actually the table name. So you don't have to use Cinedon to read the database structure. You can guess. You can guess, oh, this reference is actually linked to this scope EM data table. So we've been using this for the last 6 years. And so here are the current statistics in 2007. So we acquired about 600,000 images. So the image file, the raw data, they are not stored in the database. They're still linked to the file system. It's only metadata. And we have almost 2,900 experiments. And the data that's on the file system, it's built more than 15 terabytes since 2001. So if you would consider this table structure I'll show you in one big table, that would be the number of cells in this table and number of classes with users. And the amazing thing is it's only 1.5 gig, you know, on the disk. That's the size of the database itself. So now Cinedon has been used by other developers who worked on the pipeline. And currently the processing tables have, you know, using the same thing, Cinedon, because they didn't want to deal with queries again, so it's about, you know, that's a lot of entries, 700,000 entries, and it's already 6.2 gigs, so that will tell you about the progression. So everybody loves Legion, you see, you know, so since 2001, again, so we, number of images acquired, this is one query about, tells you the number of images acquired per quarter since 2001, and that's the number of sessions. So Gabe started working from our groups here, and since then, it went, yeah, went up. So now I will tell you about the technology. So everything we use is open source, as well as Legion now is open source. So there's a real interaction between databases. So DBM data, it's this structure I just showed you, the Legion structure. We have an instrumentation database. So we put, if you saw maybe the microscope room, there are some temperature sensors, and all those data, temperature data, are in the instrumentation databases. We have now these processing databases, which is separate to from the Legion database. And finally, the top database is the project database, which encapsulates the overall system. That means it's so easy to do a Legion run, so you need a way to group them by project and who's associated with this project, what type of data you want to add or other metadata. So we create this project database on top of that. So, and again, so all you need to view this data, it's a web browser. All the interfaces I'm going to show you are written in a language called PHP. So I choose PHP, it was pretty new in 2001. I didn't want to do something like in CGI Perl. So, you know, for a change, it was getting really popular, and I'm glad I did this choice. It allows you to write C extension. So you have to deal with this MRC file format, and PHP allows you to write your own extension. So each time we display an image on the web browser, it's actually from the raw data. We don't save JPEGs with target on top of it, so it's always real time. So raw data is open, even if it's a 4K by 4K images. We read the raw data, we display a metadata on top of it, and then the Apache, the web server, stream to you, the image to your browser. So that's about it, all those layers between PHP and the final level. So everything you display needs a query. You want to view even an image, a certain report, some statistics, so it's all this layer. There is no way to get data otherwise. And, you know, for the cosmetic, you know, there are those new web browsers, like some fancy JavaScript or CSS style, but that's pretty common now. So I'm going to show you a demo, and Bridget is going to guide. Exactly. So these are some simple tools. So you come in your lab, you acquire some data set, you want to view them on the web. So this is the general menu. So you have a project database link. So here we list all our projects, and so she's going to pick one project. So for this growing 100K project, these are all the experiments we acquired. And
which kind of water
should I have? Yeah, this one, I think. Yeah.
You want to get a deal with somebody?
Yeah, that's okay. So that's what we call the three reviewer. So Legendary is a multi-scale acquisition image system. And here on the web, we can relate all those relationship between images from your high exposure image to where it comes from, what we call the whole image. You can see the targets. Here you can notice there is a rotation. So we store everything in the database. We can query the calibrations of this preset from the microscope. And we know the size, we know the binning, we know the camera information, so I can draw exactly where this image is on this parent image. The same way from the hole to the square. So all you have to do is to choose your preset. Here you can see there are some circles. So this person who was using that was using the processing database and picked particle on it, so we are able to select which particle run he or she did. And so that's all on the fly. So again, so the raw data is read, particle database is queried and displayed on top of it. So if you click on the image.
Do you want me to just change the binning so we can do the
So for each image, you can adjust the way you want it by changing the binning, the image quality. Because again, it's from the raw data. So you can just stretch. So you can drag. This is the full image. You can just drag. Where you want to go. There's a little tool, a scale tool. We know the pixel size, so it's easy to draw a little tool. So that's, you have here in nanometers a number of pixels, for example. And that's about it. So what else? On the focus image.
Thank you, sorry.
So if you want to have the FFT, you can calculate the FFT. That's on the fly. So the FFTW module is compiled with PHP.
How about ACE?
So if you run the ACE, or automated CTF estimation program, so it's same thing, related to database to a particular image, and you can just browse your images and view the confidence value of your ACE run.
So
how about image info?
So
now with this RTCNN data class, we can run a recursive query. That means for every table, give me information of this particular image ID. So I generate a tree. It's this huge tree with maybe, so here it is. So there's 700 nodes in this tree, but you have everything, all the scope parameters for this particular image. So it's this is really what I mean before by snapshot of the current state of the microscope. So you have scope parameters, camera parameters, and image parameters. So if you run CTF, you have a CTF report here. Again, here you have a viewer. It's a basic viewer with the same features. You display particle, calculate the FFT. Here you can download the raw MRC if you need to, display scale bar.
Download the MRC.
Yeah.
I'll catch you up.
So if you go up, so all those files save at MRC, so I display some header information from this particular MRC. So that's available for every single image. It's static and what else? Oh, the latest thing is the relation. So for example, if I want to go to one of its parents, you just click on the parents, and here you have the summary of the parents. So you can just navigate it this way through your images. So we have another summary. So that was really a viewer for each to view your images. But if you want to summarize your session, you just go to the summary page. And here you have a status of all the presets you use when you use Legion to acquire this data. So I mentioned before an instrumentation database, and here is a snapshot of all the temperatures. So what was the temperature when I acquired those images? So you can see, so there is the ambient temperature, the water temperature. So one day the water quality was bad, and the camera got clogged. So we can see a contrast in the images because the camera couldn't cool, and you can see like a huge bump in the graph. Here, a really useful graph is the drift. So if you go to the drift report, so all those data are real time. So you can set a threshold. So you can see those bump. That's actually every 2 hours. So between your DVDs, you can fill up. You have to fill up your cryo holder. So you can see exactly. You can follow the drift. And so there are so many links on those reports. And everybody contributes to the summary now. So you can notice here there is two links: the SQL link and the data link. So it's kind of a basic graph, basic way to represent graphs in those tools. So if you click on the SQL, it tells you that's the query. So again, it's plain English. If you type that, you get all the thing. So if you go back, you click on data. And so if you want to use a spreadsheet to display data the way you want, so again, every table has a timestamp, for example, which can be useful to cross-query the data between other, if there is no relation between a data set. Here are the image stats so that for every preset, we display a histogram of the same image. Eye thickness, and what else? Autofocus results. So right now in Legion, we can set a range of defocus. So here are the histogram. You know, the random function is pretty good in Python. So that's CTF, mentioned that. And so that's the particular stats summary. So if you run the processing page, Gabriel will tell you about the pipeline web tools. So if you run it, we display in the same summary page. That's about it.
Okay.
So maybe go back to the main page. Just resolve the tools. So the other two, so they are mainly so two image viewers, one real-time, the LOI, the Legend Object Interface. And here are some, there is an application. So applications Legend are written in XML. So this tool allows you to export your application or also import it. If somebody else writes an application to use on your system, you upload it via this link. And that's about it. And the tomography viewer, but RCT, I think Neil is going to talk about that. So that's about it, about the database structure. We want to keep everything.
Well, I mean, you know, we have mined it. I mean, we're mining it in terms of eye thickness. We're mining it in terms of KV, blah, blah, blah. And we could do more of that. I mean, I think your suggestion was, could we just throw in all of these parameters, do some big multivariate, test of it. And I think that's not a bad idea. I think what I said earlier was we need to control it better. I mean, it's all very well throwing all that together, but as I say, just for dose, you've got to worry about whether your coherence was the same, was your exposure time the same? Did you use the same stage? You know, there are a lot of controls, and that we certainly want to do that kind of thing, but I think you have to be very careful that you have controlled well and built a proper model before you start drawing conclusions just by random correlations. But certainly the database has the power to do that once we have that kind of control. And for some things like ice thickness, which we at least have some simple understanding of, it's already been very useful to inform us as to how to go about it. But it's not 50 terabytes of data in the database. The database is a gigabyte. It's 50 terabytes of images. And those have certainly been well used, as you can see on the wall. So those are not a waste of time. No. The database itself is very small. And, that's why Denise says we store everything, because why not? You know, one image is 64 megabytes. What do we care if in 5 years we accumulate a gigabyte's worth of metadata? Yeah, we might as well accumulate 10 times that much. You know, it's a trivial amount of data to collect as metadata on the grounds that one day we might want it. Why not?
And 1.5 gig is like nothing today, right? It's like there's like half a terabyte on this laptop here.
Other questions?
Do you want to address that? It, of course, depends on the calibration and how well you get back to the calibration. Let's say you do a good calibration on the same day. That's normally using, let me see, that's about 0.1 microns, so that's 100 nanometers. That's the best when it is. Actually, one of the problem we have is that it's so accurate. If we tell you to go to 2 microns, it's too close to 2 microns, so you don't get a range. That's why we have the random defocus option, so that you just specify a range and let it go. And some of the people, they want to save the time for focusing as well, then they will start to do things like, for example, in random counting hotel, you're going to hear about that they actually only doing one focusing per square, so that it's not necessary to do it all the time in the case.
Point one is not too bad. So what I mean is, if it's only point one and when you do reconstruction, if you're not aiming for really high resolution, just to be flipping, that's good enough. So question is, why you still do the outline of the film?
Because it's quick and easy. I mean, we might as well do it. We can do it at the same time as acquiring the images. It's totally true.
Okay.
I should correct the way I'm describing it. When I say a 0.1, I'm talking about precision. In that case, as a utility to go somewhere, then it's within our range. But let's say it's calibrated wrong, then you may be at some different place, but you are still within our range. Then it's still an advantage to get calculated this afterwards.
And you might as well be right. I mean, the ACE stuff happens at the same pace as you can acquire an image. So by the time you've finished your images, they're already all CTF fitted, so why not just get it right, you know? It's not worth skipping that step. If it took 2 days to do it, it might be.
How often does it crash? Why does it crash?
Never. So we don't know. And your
turn. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't crash. When it does crash, it's not frequent, and it's fairly unpredictable when or why. Sometimes it's because the computer Legion is running on is overwhelmed by somebody processing or using a web browser in some crazy way while it's running. It's not a problem, I would say.
The machine crashes. The software almost never does now. I mean, at the beginning, we had memory leaks and things to worry about, but that's all being cleaned up. So sometimes it's the computer, network, something, But that's very rare.
But I know you've really simplified all the options. How long does it take a non-NRAM user to calibrate and get started?
A couple of months.
I should make a correction on that. It's like, if for the whole institute, somebody has to do a very careful calibration for all the users. The kind of calibration that Jim mentions that you do every day are the ones that can go off. by people having different alignments. So for instance, you just want to move from one square to another square, you need very little calibration, and now those are usually very stable. So only one person needs to know how to do it. Yes, that takes a long time. The per day calibration depends on what's your requirement. Joe is the best Dejanon user without doubt, but I'm probably the fastest because I skipped a lot of calibration.
I'm the chair for this, and I'm not supposed to say anything, but we've taken somebody off the street, no experience at all, no microscopy experience at all, and in less than a month, they don't really have to know how to run that microscope except basic alignments and are collecting MSI data off of Legend.
Good data. So it can be done. I mean, the more you need to do it the way we say you need to do it. You know, if you get sort of start twiddling knobs in the middle of everything and making a mess, you get into a mess. But most people here, I think, are getting set up in an hour or so. You know, if the microscope was left pointed at Mars the day before, it's more of a struggle. But you know, on an instrument that only runs Legend on, the setup's quick. On an instrument that's running everything else as well, the setup's a bit slower. But having said that, Jim and Angie's big focus at the moment is to automate that setup. And we hope, you know, you're going to be able to push the big green go button and it will be ready and waiting for you with very minor tweaks, you know, so that the setup should be reduced to 15 minutes, half an hour most days. That's a big push in the group at the moment.
Okay, one more question. I want to make sure we get a break, but go ahead, Gabe.
I actually have a question about this slide. So the DBDM database is 1.5 gigabytes, and it's been around for 6-7 years, you're saying?
Yeah.
Processing database, we've only really started putting a lot of stuff into that in the past 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
And as has suggested, there's even more and more data that can be packaged into that.
Yeah.
And learn more and more about this stuff. So what happens when this database is 6 or 7 years old, and there's even more data going into it than we have right now? How is that size going to affect
So MySQL, so the database we use is called MySQL, and on that application it says there is no limit. The database can be as big as your file system can handle. But in our case, so we are thinking to split up databases. So each project will have its own processing database, and then basically when you create a new database, all it is, it's a new directory in your system. So you can always, in case of instance, okay, I'm done with those data, I'm going to erase it. In case of Bridget, I'm going to keep it, I'm going to save it somewhere else. So that's the idea, to split per project, to have every project will have its own processing database.